Joining me now is Dan Eastman. Dan, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks so much for having me on. It's always great to visit with you. It's good to see you.
It's been a while. Happy New Year to you and your family. Glad to have you back. Of course, he has a daily show at worldviewtube.com. The professor has a daily show on what's happening in the area of economics and so much more. He's also an attorney, folks. Worldviewtube.com is my channel. You'll find him there each and every day, live or on demand. All right, so we've got several articles out there tonight. If folks want to go over to, let me find it, worldviewreport.com. I know we had them up there, Worldview Report. You sent them to me, and I posted them up there, I'm pretty sure. Here we go. Powell tells 60 Minutes, Fed not likely to cut in March, calls Americans lazy. What is with this, and what does this mean for the average family watching tonight, Dan?
Well, it's kind of an amazing thing. And back in the olden days, the Federal Reserve was quite quiet. And the meetings, these Federal Open Market Committee meetings, were held in secret, actually. The minutes were always kept private. But I think it was in the George Herbert Walker Bush administration, they decided to start publishing the minutes. And now, even today, they publish these minutes 3 weeks after the meeting so that you don't rock the markets. Well, Chairman Powell had an important FOMC meeting last week with his with the committee. And then on Sunday night, he's on a very famous national television show making some really amazing statements that are frankly unheard of. First of all, they're battling with this inflation rate situation. And for some reason, the Federal Reserve decides that the inflation rate should be 2%. And we're at about 3.4 to 4%, depending how you look at it. And what they do is they raise the interest rates to bring inflation down because it slows the economy. And of course, we saw that all last year, started out about a year ago, raising interest rates quite high to combat a 9% inflation rate. And it triggered three major banks collapsing that had to be absorbed by other banks. It was quite a phenomenon to see. Well, since then, they've been talking about cutting the rates back down because that would stimulate the economy and that would be something favorable for the current incumbent administration. But they've been going back and forth and back and forth. And late last year, they were talking about cutting the interest rates in March. Well, they've pivoted, of course. And then Chairman Powell is on national television talking about how they're not going to be cutting interest rates anytime soon because they're an independent body. And then he made some amazing comments, one of which, of course, is that all the new jobs that have been created since 2018, in effect, have been jobs that have been taken by immigrants. They're lower paying, less skilled jobs. People coming to the United States, they don't have the English as a strong language, so that you tend to get the lower jobs. And effectively, what he's saying is Americans are too lazy to take these jobs. Therefore, they're available for the immigrants. And I think that was a real slap in the face to just about all of us in America who, for generations, have learned the value of hard work. The second thing he said that was very interesting, especially from an economic perspective, is he said that the federal government spending is not on a sustainable path.
In fact, you know what, Dan? I have that clip. You want me to play it?
You should play that. That's fascinating.
All right, here we go.
Another economic hangover after the pandemic is a sharp increase in the national debt. 30 years from now, it is projected to be $144 trillion, or $1 million per household.
How do you assess the national debt?
We mostly try very hard not to comment on fiscal policy and instruct Congress on how to do their job when actually they have oversight over us.
But is the national debt a danger to the economy, in your view?
In the long run, the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path. The U.S. federal government's on an unsustainable fiscal path. And that just means that the debt is growing faster than the economy.
I have the sense this worries you very much.
Over the long run, of course it does. You know, we're borrowing from future generations. It's time for us to get back to putting a priority on fiscal sustainability. And sooner is better than later.
I agree.
These guys would have no clue about how to put anything on a fiscal stability. They don't want that. They want this whole thing to burn up. This is the Cloward Pivot strategy, collapse the economy. Then we're going to enslave you with central bank digital dollars. I mean, come on. That guy's lying through his teeth, in my opinion.
Well, it's funny. In the long run, there's a very famous John Maynard Keynes, the Keynesian model. Professor Keynes said, "In the long run, we're all dead. Therefore, we need short-run stimulus." Well, I think Professor Keynes is probably correct. We don't have a long run. If you take a look at the United States of America, 330 million people. Okay, add 10 million for the people sneaking in. Let's say 340 million people. We have tax-paying units. That's individuals and companies. Of about 190 million plus to 200 million. So the point is, you have 200 million taxpayers supporting this massive, massive debt. And if you look at the next 10 countries that are in debt, the next 10 aren't equal to the United States. We are so far beyond reality in national debt. And we have a country of 330, 340 million people. We're not a billion and a half like the Chinese or a billion and a half like the East Indians. We are a small country with massive debt that strips past all other countries. The next top 10 aren't anywhere near where we are. That's a real problem, because the United States since the 1940s has assumed that we're the richest country in the world and we can do whatever we want and we're invincible. The reality is we're not that big of a country when you look at other countries and other blocks. Even Europe has more population. So at the end of the day, you're just piling massive deficits on the American public. And right now, all the tax dollars the IRS collects, and everybody should pay their taxes, but when the IRS collects those dollars, they're $2 trillion short, and this deficit's been running since World War II. We have $34 trillion, it'll be $36 trillion in the next couple of months, and at the end of the day, the American taxpayers just simply are tapped. They cannot afford this amazing amount of expenditure. So I think Paul is correct. Somebody ought to become fiscally responsible, but it's just simply politically not possible in Washington to find a balanced budget. And if you did balance the budget, you got $34 trillion in debt. And there's $1 trillion a year in interest on that debt right now that we spent that money in prior years. So how do you dig yourself out of this hole?
And then you got the unfunded liabilities, which puts us at probably near $200 trillion, right?
Yeah. It's just a real, we are bankrupt. When you look at the numbers,
which is why they need to go to central bank digital currencies, which is why they need to have the older people die off. Right. So you shove them into the hospitals, put them on remdesivir, shut down their organs, put them on respirators to crank those babies up and get rid of some of these older people that are the useless eaters, as Noah Harari says, you know.
It's a real frustrating thing. And trust me, the Chinese are very, very, very much aware of this. They've been around for 6,000 years. They're very intelligent people. They understand money. They understand business. And what they're doing is they're watching the United States consume itself. It'd be like a family that has $3 million in credit card debt, and you take out new credit cards to make the payments on the old credit cards, and it just keeps growing and growing and
growing. So what should people do, Professor?
At this point, you need to be taking care of yourself. And I think when you look at tangible assets, assuming that the constitutional protection against individual property holds, if you should be holding things when inflation comes roaring in, that will go up in value. I mean, a rising tide floats all boats. And if you don't have a boat, the rising tide will leave you behind. You need to have something that will capture upside value in an inflationary economy. And that's why it's interesting. The Federal Reserve, if you think of from the Biden administration, cut the rates, stimulate the economy, lots of jobs, you know, you want to win re-election with a healthy economy. Even Chairman Powell is saying, you know what, we can't. Because if they were to lower rates, it only stimulates the economy more, inflation gets worse, and the little people get hurt. You need to own tangible assets or real estate or something that will go up in value when this inflation hits. And it will. It hit in the 1970s when President Nixon took us off the gold standard. That was effectively what happened, is that the number of dollars to buy the same amount of goods exploded. And you know, if you look at the price of gold today, and you look at the price of gold back in, let's say, the 1960s, it's the same number of ounces of gold to buy a home today as it was in the 1960s. The only thing that's changed is the Federal Reserve notes or the dollars, because the gold to housing ratio, or the gold to, it's an old joke, an old gold to men's suit ratio, it's the same. It stayed the same. What hasn't stayed the same, unfortunately, are the number of Federal Reserve notes floating in the system, and that's inflation.
Indeed.
So if you're on a fixed pension and you're getting Federal Reserve notes every month, you're going to starve. You need assets that go up in value.
Do you have a website you want to promote before we let you go?
ProfessorEastman.com, and watch me on WVW TV, 11:30 a.m. Central Time. I'll tell you all about it. I can go on for hours talking.
Absolutely, you could. ProfessorEastman.com, correct?
Correct.
ProfessorEastman.com. Can people book you to come in and speak and give seminars?
Oh, absolutely. If somebody wanted to listen to me, they can give me a call. And if my lips are working, I'll maybe talk, show up. But no, I do. I spend a lot of time talking about economic issues. This is, and I've listened to...
Well, we're losing your microphone. Where's your mic there?
Oh, sorry. We're in a national crisis. This is a very big problem for national security, because we're going to the point where we can't afford to go forward. Wow. I guess I might be off here, but
no, we got you.
You can check me out my show, and I'll explain it all in detail.
Excellent. ProfessorEastman.com, and then he's every day live and on demand at worldviewtube.com. worldviewtube.com. Thanks for checking in, Professor.